This morning, turn me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, the same place we started out last week. In Philippians chapter 2, we brought a message that I had brought previously about the faith of Christ and what Christ knew during his earthly ministry and how he relinquished certain attributes of his deity. And I want to bring another message from Philippians 2 about something else that's in the verses further down. And I noticed as I was studying again this passage. So we'll begin reading in verse 5 where we read last week. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore? Now, the wherefore refers back to what's just been written there. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, there's some things there that I hope we don't miss as we look at the verses. How there's a continuation of thought. For example, what I'm talking about is in verse 8, well, in verse 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he mentions several things about Christ Jesus. He mentions that he made himself of no reputation. That's the mind that we should have in us. He took upon him the form of a servant. We should be servants. He was made in the likeness of men. We already are. But then it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, as we should humble ourselves, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I want us to think about that word there, obedient. Because up in verse 12, he's already said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. One of the things that Jesus Christ manifested in his life was obedience. And that was one of the things that really I think probably we looked at more verses about last week in relation to Jesus Christ always doing the will of the Father. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. And over and over and over again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, particularly in the book of John, that is repeated. He became obedient. And his obedience was not just to the Father, it was to the death of the cross. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, not only did he become obedient to death, that would be one thing, but the most horrible and heinous death that a person could experience. The death that was reserved for criminals, thugs and robbers and murderers. Jesus Christ became obedient. Well, Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. So we know that these people at Philippi, Paul appreciated their obedience to the instructions of God's word. He said, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. When Paul was there present with them, they were obedient. He said, now, much more in my absence. But notice the phrase that he uses. That must have to do with them being obedient. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And everybody that believes that works have anything whatsoever to do with salvation always jump on the verse and say, look, Paul says, work out your own salvation. Well, the interesting thing about that is Paul never says work for your salvation. He says work out your own salvation. And he clarifies that in the very next verse, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. Hold on here and look over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is one of the riches of the glory of that mystery. You see, Paul is writing here to people who were like the Ephesians, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. And these people are now saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And these people who before had no hope and were without God in the world, strangers from Israel, are now part of the family of God. Why? Because of that mystery program that was given to and through the Apostle Paul. There would have never been a hope for these people to be saved under the program of Israel, the kingdom program. Why? Because they were not allied with Israel. They were not blessing Israel. Most of them were idol worshippers, fornicators, adulterers, sinners, if you will. And yet they had been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And as these people are saved, according to the revelation of the mystery, the gospel, the mystery gospel given to Paul, he said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, which is, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, you know, if we just stop and think about that, folks, it ought to cause us to understand and realize all that God has done for us, not only eternally, but right now. Do you understand that what the Scripture is saying is right now you have Christ in you? It's what is called by the educated, which wouldn't include me, I read this term, reciprocal indwelling. That means that we are in Christ, but Christ is also in us. We are in Him. We are members of His body, of His bones and of His flesh. We are joined with Him as one body. And yet the one to whom we are joined to indwells us by His Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you go back to Philippians, he says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, that then is the explanation of work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, if God worketh in you and Christ is in you, what is it that He desires to come out of you? Christ and God, instead of flesh and self. That's all He's talking about when He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, in verse 14, He gives some instructions. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about shining as lights in the world. It has to do with the ministry we have that will cause a person to move from darkness to light. He said that you would shine as lights in the world. Every time I read that verse, I think about that song that I sung as a little boy. I guess sometimes, well, we probably don't in Sunday school now because, you know, it's all praise and worship stuff. But we sung real simple songs, you know, like Jesus loves me, this I know. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And, you know, we'd all hold our little finger up and that was the light. And, you know, you put hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. I think about that every time I read this. We're to shine as lights in the world. Why? We have the light of the world in us, indwelling us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's God that worketh in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. So we have the word of God in us. And as we grow in grace and understanding, we have that information which we're able to impart to other people that can also impart life. So, he says to shine. Where are we to shine? Well, he said that you might shine as lights in the world. Well, why do we need to shine as lights in the world? Well, I think it's pretty evident, isn't it, that the world lies in darkness. Mark was touching on that this morning. Who is the prince of the power of the air? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Brother Paul Summey was telling me the other day, he'd had a conversation with some men at work, and he was showing them that the devil is the god of this world. And they said, oh no, God's in control. God, and so he showed them the verses, and they said, yeah, but those verses, he's just talking about saved people. Now folks, the spirit that now worketh, the Bible says, in the children of disobedience. That means that, and he says to those Ephesians that they're acting like the same people they were before they got saved. But the point in all that is this. We are to shine in light as lights in the world because the world is in darkness. And it's been in darkness. Look back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. You know, we've done studies on darkness and light before in the Word of God, and obviously darkness is always associated with Satan and his kingdom. It's always associated with that which is bad. And in John chapter 3, there's some verses that really point that out. Look in John chapter 3, in verse 19. Of course, John 3:16 precedes that, God so loved the world and so forth. But notice in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Who was that light? It was Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world, he said. Jesus Christ was that light. And he said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. But notice, and men love darkness rather than light. In other words, they love Satan more than the Son of God who was manifested as light. Reason? Because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God, wrought in God. Now, I want you to think about something. Look back in John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's that talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when Jesus says over in John chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And he says there in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. He's talking about there the physical appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And men hated him because their deeds were evil. The Pharisees, the religious system of his day, they hated him because they were more concerned about their physical lineage than they were honoring the one that came from God. They said, we're not going to have this man rule over us. They rejected the light. Now, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God. Where is the light of God today? It is in the Word of God. What is it that people reject today? The Word of God. Why? Because their deeds are evil. What exposes men for what they really are? The Word of God. Come on, think about it. There is not righteous, no, not one. Why is it today that people reject the Word of God? Because they don't like what it says about mankind. They don't like the idea. This thing about that Mark was talking about this morning, about God being in control, whether he's in control or not. Every person that I've ever heard, or almost every person I've ever heard, that says they don't believe in God, uses the same excuse. You know what it is? If your God is a God that brings tornadoes and hurricanes and disease to children and people, then I don't want any part of that God. You ever heard that? I don't want, that's not a God I would have anything to do with. Well, you see, they don't understand that God that they're talking about is not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible gave man the opportunity to live in a perfect environment. And the Bible says, whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death came upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the picture we have then is that death was a result of man's rebellion against God. And with that death came curse, or with that rebellion rather, came a curse upon the earth also. And so today, the things that are happening in the world happen because God is not controlling all the physical circumstances of people that, like, people want to believe. I see on every now and then people make statements like, you know, everything happens for a purpose. And the purpose sometimes is our stupidity, our bad decisions, and that kind of thing. But come on, folks, the God of this Bible, the Word of God, sheds light on who we are in Christ and how God is operating today in this dispensation of grace. And so we are to shine as lights in the world. Why? Well, number one, because the lost are in darkness. And the only light that will, the only thing that will bring them light is the truth of the gospel. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians 4, before we won't go back to chapter 3, but in chapter 3, Paul talks about the administration of the law and the administration of the Spirit. And he said that when the law is read, when he wrote the book of Corinthians, even at that time when the law is read, there was a veil upon the people's face that caused them to see, that blinded them from seeing the glorious administration of the Spirit, which is grace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What is this ministry he's talking about? The ministration of the Spirit. The ministration of grace. As we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice now, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we, and not only when I say we, I'm not talking about we here in the auditorium, we as members of the body of Christ, who understand that salvation is by grace through faith, we have the truth that will transform a person from darkness to light. And it's a very simple truth. It's the light of the glorious gospel that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, according to Scriptures. And any person that will believe that gospel, they will no longer have their minds blinded. You see, he said, in whom the God of the world blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, if a person will believe, then they will no longer be blinded. They'll have the light of the glorious gospel. They can see that, and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But where does that come from? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. You see, God doesn't just supernaturally wake people up in the middle of the night and reveal Himself to them. God does supernaturally, you know, like the fellow down there in Montgomery said, he was riding down the highway and it was about 11 o'clock at night and said an angel got in his car with him. Looked over there and there was an angel in the car with him. Well, I'll tell you what, if that ever happens to me, I'm going to leave it with him. And this man talks about how this angel told him all about how to be saved. Interestingly enough, it had nothing to do with how the Bible says a man has to be saved. You see, people are always looking for something outside the Word of God. And Paul says the simple truth is, the simplicity of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That He was buried, rose again the third day, and that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. And so we have the free gift of salvation, and we have this ministry of making this light known to all men. Not only that, not only are the lost in darkness, but there are many people today, and when I say that, not only the lost, the religious, most of the religious world is in darkness as to the truth of the Word rightly divided. And then, of course, it's possible that saved people can remain in darkness to an extent. Now, obviously, they would have to have the light of the glorious gospel and be saved. But notice what Paul says over in Ephesians. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. And before we read there, look in Ephesians 5. And notice what Paul says there in verse 8. Shining as lights in a dark world. And folks, it is a dark world. There's no doubt about that. But in Ephesians 5:8, to these at Ephesus, Paul said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, if you go back up to chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." Well then, was it possible? It certainly sounds to me that Paul is addressing some people at Ephesus that aren't living as though they're in the light. He says there in verse 17, I testify in the Lord This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, he says, that's not you. Don't walk like who you used to be. Walk like who you are. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Well, it certainly sounds like then that there's a great possibility that there were some folks over at Ephesus that were not living like who they were in the Lord. They were acting like they were still in darkness. And I want you to understand something this morning. I believe, and you may disagree with this, but I believe it's entirely possible for a person to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved and sealed under the day of redemption and never progress any further than that. Now, I know people say, oh, well, if that happened, they weren't really saved. Really? Well, think about what Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, I thank God on your behalf that He's bestowed His grace upon you. But he says in 1 Corinthians 3, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Where, because he says you're still carnal. You're acting carnal. Well, how is it that a person that is saved can walk in the light and be a light? By allowing the Word of God to instruct them and teach them so that they might have the light of the Word of God, not only the light of the gospel, but the light of the truth of the Word. Paul told Timothy, he said, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, if they depart from the faith, they must have been in the faith, and he's not talking about losing their salvation. He's talking about departing from the doctrine, the body of truth that was given them. And they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So he says there in verse 7, Ephesians 5, 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You see, the Word of God, folks, is the light that we have that we can share with other people. Are we letting it shine? Or is it covered up? Or is it? Do we remain mute? We open our mouth and make known the truth of the Word of God. Why is it there so much confusion in religion today? Because people believe men rather than God. People put faith in what man says rather than what God says. And so we are to shine, Paul said. Look back there in Philippians again. In Philippians chapter 2 again. He says, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, he gives us in verse 14 and 15 some instructions about some things that are necessary if we are to shine as lights in this world. He says, first of all, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, there's a great illustration of murmuring. Look back in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. You see, there's folks today that believe that there are no real commandments for us and instructions. Well, you got 13 epistles full of them. He said, the one we just read, do all things without murmurings and disputings. What's he talking about? Making this light, letting this light shine. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well then, would God bring about murmurings and disputings? No. You know where that stuff comes from? It comes from flesh. You know what people dispute over? They dispute over things that they disagree on. They might be biblical things, but almost always it's because of the flesh. Because of man's pride and arrogance. And there are plenty of disputings out there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then he lists some things. Verse 7, neither be idolaters. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. I believe it was 14,200 people that were destroyed there for murmuring. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. If God destroyed everybody today that murmured or disputed, there wouldn't be anybody left here to do the work of the ministry. Thank God we're under His grace. He's not exercising His wrath today like He did against Israel. By the way, Aaron intervened and saved the rest of the people, but there was 14,000 he destroyed because they were murmuring. And the definition of murmuring has to do with, it's like a continual resistance. Continually complaining, if you will. Murmuring. Disputings among one another. You ever met people that there just never is anything good that they can have to say? Everything is gloom, despair, misery, and it's just always that kind of thing. Well, come on, we are the light of the world. Now, I'm not saying we ought to, you know, have this skippity-doo-dah attitude about everything's good and all that kind of stuff. We understand we are in this present body and we groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption to wit. But on the other hand, as Mark mentioned this morning, we have an awful lot of things to be thankful for, folks. We have an awful lot of spiritual blessings that will never change because they are what we have in Christ. And I understand people have difficulties in life and we ought to be compassionate and kind and tender. But come on, there is no need for continual murmurings and disputings. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're living in a perverse, crooked, twisted world, aren't we? And it just, I mean, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse every day. And I know that sometimes, you know, people, they pick out a cause. And they rally around that cause of trying to improve the world. And some of them are very good. I mean, you know, I realize that at best I may have 10, 15, maybe 20 years to live. Maybe not make it home. You don't know. But I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I hate for them the things that are going on in this country and in this world. But you know what? The Bible predicts it. It says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so I don't want to stand up here and preach a message of gloom and doom, but I don't see anything getting any better in the world. Only worse. And we that have lived in the past years, the last 50 or 60 years, lived in a wonderful time of the world prospering and so forth. And no doubt the folks that are in the world today, they will look at it as being a good time. But you know, you think about where this country was when the founding fathers established it and where it is now, it doesn't even resemble it. But in the midst of all of that, and you know, 4th of July being Independence Day, and I was thinking about these, in the midst of all of that, where would you rather live? Where would you rather be than in the United States of America? I don't know of anywhere. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. Now, I hate the things that are going on, but you know what? I can fight against them. I can resist them. I can spend my time trying to expose the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs and who all other stuff is that's doing all this stuff that's behind the scenes. You know, I keep hearing about the New World Order, and I've been hearing about it since 1960s, and I'm wondering when it's become the Old World Order. And I understand all that stuff is very possibly real, but come on, what is our ministry? We're lights in the world. We're to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. You see, Paul wasn't involved in trying to change the government that he was being persecuted under. What he's trying to do was preach the Word of God so people's lives would be changed and they'd be saved and delivered from this world. And that's what our ministry is. We have the light of the glorious gospel, the truth of the Word of God. And we are to shine as lights in the world. Notice what he says there in verse 16. He tells us how to do it. Holding forth the word of life. There's the light. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, Paul's confidence was not in the world getting better. It was not in that things were going to be improved. As I said, he told Timothy, he said, evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. But he said, we have the word of life. That is the word of God that imparts life. Look over in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy. I think I gave you the wrong. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I've always found that verse kind of interesting. Be thou partaker of what? The afflictions of the gospel. That doesn't sound like something you would write to somebody you're trying to encourage, does it? Here's a message you need to preach, Timothy. Be a partaker of the suffering. Well, that's what he tells him. He says in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Bible says that you're saved by grace through faith. And verse Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He says he saved us, verse 9 again, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. In other words, it was all settled back there, but now it's being made manifest. How? By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice, here's the phrase. Who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, the only way that you can show people how they can live forever is through the gospel. He's brought life and immortality to light. It's the word of life. It's the truth of the gospel. The glorious gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's what our ministry is, folks. To shine as lights in this world. And so Paul says, wherefore? He said, Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But you know what? Paul said, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He says, as you've obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you. You see, you don't have to go to school to learn how to minister. You don't have to get educated and learn how to be a light in the world. You have the Word of God. Proclaim it. Make it known to others. And do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, his children, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's what our ministry is. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, our labor in Christ is never in vain. Shine as lights in the world. After all, it is God which worketh in us. Would you stand with me for prayer?